AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for joining us here on AFR. And today is Thursday, July the 2nd, 2026. There'll never be another one like it. Joining me in studio is Ed Battagliano.
That's deep. There'll never be another day like this.
Well, I was going to say, Ed, yes, it will.
Yeah. Well,
you're welcome.
Yeah.
You can use that. I was going to say, and to my left here is Ed Battagliano, and guess what, folks? There'll never be another one like it.
No, there won't.
All right. Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good morning to you.
Chris Woodward.
I'm glad to be a part of the golden age of today's issues.
The golden age with the golden guys.
It's going to be a beautiful thing today.
Not the golden girls, the golden guys.
I look like I retired many years ago. Yes.
All right. Thank you for joining us on today's issues. A lot to talk about. Dr. Frank Turek will be along in just a few minutes. And then Sandy Rios and her husband Bruce are on the mall in Washington, D.C., attending the and experiencing the America's State Fair, I guess. I'm not sure that's the proper title for it, but what's going on in D.C., all the states are represented on the mall with exhibits and so forth, and they got a big Ferris wheel there.
I didn't know that we did that. We do that every. Is that just for this one?
No, there's something called the 250th celebration of America, which is a special situation.
Okay, all right, I didn't know. This studio's filling up with wise guys. All right, so I didn't know whether we did that every July 4th in the nation's capital.
The answer's no.
Okay, good. Okay. Thank you.
We're doing it for to commemorate 250 years. So Sandy and Bruce, they're walking around. They just sent me a picture. So she's going to be on.
And she's going to talk about it.
Yeah, she's going to talk about it.
I want to know whether she's going up in the Ferris wheel.
Yeah, I still petition for talking to Sandy live on the Ferris wheel. I can see Richmond.
Yeah. I just asked them, Sandy and Bruce, they sent me, they were going by the Mississippi tent.
Oh, okay.
And I just text, any catfish?
I was going to say, some fried catfish and hush puppies?
You could probably become one of the more popular states there on that fair if you were offering some fried catfish with some slaw. Mm-hmm. I mean, good slaw.
Yeah.
Not bland slaw. I'm talking about some good slaw. You make slaw, do you?
I do.
Yeah. What do you toss in there?
Well, of course, lots of mayonnaise.
Okay. That's a good start.
I use red wine vinegar to get some
I thought
twang.
Christians don't drink alcohol in it's, summertime.
It cooks out.
This is not, it's not hard. It's not hard vinegar.
Okay.
It's
cooking wine.
A little bit of horseradish a little bit of, just a little bit of mustard.
Okay.
And of course, pepper, a lot of black pepper.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Fred, you make your slaw, do you?
My wife does.
Okay.
And it's really, really good.
Is it similar to Ed's recipe?
She being a Mississippian, you know, she adds that touch to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, I don't add sugar to mine. Some people will add sugar. Okay.
Is it a religious thing?
I like it tangy. No, I just like it tangy. I don't really like stuff sweet.
Okay.
If I'm going to go for something sweet, I'm going for a big bowl of mint chocolate chip ice cream. I'm not adding a teaspoon of sugar to my coleslaw.
I do not.
You don't do slaw?
I don't make slaw? I don't make much of anything. I do on occasion, grill some hamburgers or steaks.
Well, that's adventurous.
That's not even in the Slaw family.
If my wife's not going to be at home that night, or maybe she's gone for the weekend or whatever, I've had to tell my 12-year-old that Dad is capable of preparing a hot meal.
It's called McDonald's.
I slave over a hot air fryer.
My kids to this day, okay, I know Frank's.
Your adult kids.
Frank Turek.
Two adult kids.
Turek's ready. Yeah. Yes. Frank Turek. He's ready, but we're going to hold off in just a second. So I have two adult kids. My daughter is 40-something. My son is in his mid to late 30s. Mm-hmm. But my wife was a stay-at-home mom, mm-hmm. and every Saturday I would tell her, I'd say, Saturday's yours. I'll take care of the kids. But she usually went out for the morning, early morning, and did, you know, shopping, go Hobby Lobby, whatever. Mm-hmm. And she would generally bring something home, fast food-ish. And so we started getting into this thing where she was staying later out, and the kids mm-hmm. around noon were saying, Daddy, we're hungry. And I would tell them, I would say, I'm not going to make anything because Mom will be home
before
soon.
Cell phones.
Yeah. Yes, before cell phones. So I couldn't check.
Right.
So I would say, Mom will be home. And I didn't, you know, don't want to feed them bologna sandwiches and then come back with, you know, Chick-fil-A or McDonald's or whatever. And so she started saying to like 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and the kids say, Daddy, I'm starving. I said, Mom will be home in just a little bit.
Yeah. She started taking advantage of you.
Yes, she
right
did.
There,
but and my kids remind me of this still.
All right. So anyway, Sandy will be on with us. Sandy Rios at the bottom of the hour. Our good friend Dr. Frank Turek joins us now from, I guess he's home in North Carolina for the 4th. Good morning, Frank.
Wasn't it today they actually approved the Declaration of Independence? I thought it was July 2nd.
I think it was signed, but now you but it, but the document declared.
Yeah, look, The document 4th. Later was signed in August, but I thought they initially approved it on July 2nd and then officially
signed it on
the
4th. Or the document said the 4th.
Yeah.
This is the blind leading the blind at this point.
That's right.
Well, why would you even bring this up if you don't? Nobody even knows.
Frank Turek did.
Because I thought you guys would know this. This is
we
the
do.
Two-
But
250.
We don't want, we're saving it to the end
Fred's
of the show.
Fred's on AI right now figuring it out. What is it, Fred? Come on.
What's the significance of July 2nd, Chris? Do you know the answer to that?
It comes after July 1st.
What? See why Chris is on here?
This is why he gets the big money.
That's
Those
right.
broadcasting
okay.
classes are exactly really paying right. off, Mom.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. So I looked it up. Mm-hmm. So... Now, this does not answer the first question that Frank asked about July 2nd. I think that's when Thomas Jefferson finished writing it. This says the Declaration of Independence was officially adopted by the Second Continental Congress on July 4th, but it was signed by the delegates primarily on August 2nd.
Gotcha.
But I think the July 2nd thing, there is something to that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
The
second
Continental Congress officially voted July 2nd.
Okay, but they signed on the 4th.
Yep. There you go. Thanks, Fred.
Do you know, Frank, do you know the first person to sign it?
Well, John Hancock signed it first.
John Hancock.
And he was the governor of Massachusetts, Taxachusetts, we call it now.
Yeah.
and he put his signature so big that he said King George could read my name without his spectacles. I wanted to make sure that he knew I signed this thing.
You talk about trolling.
That's right.
That's trolling.
That's trolling.
Well,
those 18th century style.
People don't understand that when they signed that, they basically put a target on the back of their heads.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
And a lot of them were hunted down. Some of them were murdered. Some of them were.
Some of them lost everything. They lost.
Yeah, they lost their homes, their fortunes, their sacred honor is what they kept.
Yeah, right? It was quite an amazing the story. And by the way, at the top of the hour, no, excuse me, tomorrow, when we typically have the Trivia Friday show, we're going to have a special. And all this is going to be covered, and it's a patriotic special. What's the name of it?
Well, it is from our series, AFA at Home. This is episode 9, and the title is One Nation Under God. It is an episode to help the audience, people who are listening, it's a video, but we're playing the audio, rediscover what motivated our founding fathers. It's hosted by Walker Wildman. He's one of AFA's vice presidents. It features Stephen McDowell, founder and president of the Providence Foundation, Rick Green, founder and president of Patriot Academy, Tim Barton, president of Wall Builders. So during this hour and a half, this 90 minutes, we normally have today's issues on
tomorrow.
Friday. It would be Trivia Friday.
Right.
You will be listening to the audio of this program. However, you can also, for 1 week, beginning July 4th, you can stream the video free for 1 week.
Okay.
At stream.afa.net. After that 1 week, you can access it with a minimum monthly donation.
But tomorrow
$5.
On this radio show, tomorrow on this radio show, we're going to have that special, and you're going to love it. You're going to love it. It's David, excuse not David, but Tim Barton, Rick Green, and Stephen McDowell and Walker, and it's going to be, it's very informational and very inspirational.
And so those people will know the answers to questions that we sometimes fumble. You can also listen to that same, the audio of that same program, One Nation Under God, Saturday, that's on the 4th of July at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and Sunday, July 5th at 9 p.m.
Okay. Frank, what's so great about America?
Well, everything. It's the first country in the history of the world that grounded its rights in God rather than a king. We don't have a king. We have rights granted to us by our Creator. We hold these rights, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And governments are instituted among men to secure these rights. And that's... so many people haven't even read the Declaration of Independence, but if you read the Declaration of Independence, it essentially says, here's why we are throwing off King George and his government from this land. And it goes through a long series of what the founders call abuses. And they basically point out how badly the rights, their own rights, were being violated by King George. And after this, of course, in 1787, so 1776, 1787, the Constitution was ratified. The Bill of Rights to the first 10 amendments of the Constitution was ratified in 1791. The First Amendment talks about five rights: freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, freedom of petition, and freedom of
speech.
What's speech? Yes, of course. Those five rights we have largely because of Christianity. And they are not rights unless God exists, because there are no rights unless God exists. And in America, we have those rights enshrined in our Constitution. There's no other government, to my knowledge, that has those rights enshrined completely like we have. And what other worldview is going to protect rights other than Christianity? Islam isn't. We know they're not going to protect freedom of religion or freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of the press, freedom of speech. They're not going to protect that. Are atheists going to protect it? Atheists have no grounds to protect any rights, because there are no rights on atheism. Whoever has the most power wins. How about the Hindu or Far East world religions? No, there's a caste system over there. You got to be born in a certain way in order to have more rights than somebody else. The only worldview that is going to protect rights is the Christian worldview, and our founders based their form of government on ancient Israel. And if you look up, I know this, probably this special that you just talked about, Tim, is going to have some of that in there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It will.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know what? I was thinking about King George, probably the dumbest monarch in the history of the world. Huh? You have 13 colonies. And you're expanding into this new world with the British Empire. And all you got to do is keep it together. And these colonists, which were subjects of the king, they would have been happily going along with what they've always lived under. Mm-hmm. And wealth would have been brought to England, or would have been Great Britain by then, Great Britain. And instead, this guy decides to tick off all these people who were themselves adventurous and industrious and in America, and tick them all off because he didn't want to give them any say in their lives because he wanted just to, you know,
tax them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And
yeah.
How dumb, and which led to the American Revolution, which led to the United States of America and right. independence and nothing for King George.
Right.
Zero. Zilcha.
You know, so, we had a private tour of the Capitol a month or so yeah. ago with Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, and he told us this. He said, what is the average length of a constitution in the world? Like, how long do constitutions last? What do you guys think his answer was? Any idea?
The average?
Yeah.
Average. The average? Oh, man.
Under 100 years.
Yeah, I'd say under 100 years.
He said the average was 14 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're not at 250 constitution, but 250 country.
You know, the things you just expressed a few minutes ago are so true and need to be stated over and over again. I know the political secular left in this country don't want to hear it. They want to act like we could have the United States of America and our way of life and the freedoms you've just expressed somehow absent the Christian religion.
Right.
And it's impossible. But you made that comparison a few minutes ago to other religions and even non-religious like atheism, which communism springs from, which communism is complete totalitarian control. Let's look at one-fifth of the world's population, that is China.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then I don't know how they operate necessarily in India, but it's a
caste system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a democracy. But that's because they were under the control of the British
right.
for so
right.
long.
Which had
but
the
they do have a caste system. Like a third of their population are considered untouchables.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here's what kind of frosts me about the secularists and the historical revisionists. They will say, and by the way, we just covered this on the I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist podcast on Tuesday with the great Bill Federer, and he's going to be on this Saturday on the American Family Radio Network version of the I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist podcast at 9 a.m. Central right here on the American Family Radio Network. We're going to talk more about this. But people will say, all those founders, those 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, they were all deists, right?
Right.
Okay, here's what you need to do when somebody says that. I want you to name five of those guys. Name five people that signed the Declaration of Independence. I don't even know if we could do it right now, collectively, without looking it up. Can you name five people that signed the Declaration of Independence?
Well, John Hancock, obviously Thomas Nelson, Thomas Jefferson.
I know
Benjamin Rush.
I was going, but y'all go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It's a joint effort.
Josiah Bartlett.
I yield.
No, okay. go ahead.
I yield my time.
Please.
I yield my time to the Canadian.
Go
ahead.
Please.
Go ahead, Fred.
Who was one of the most influential? He came from Scotland, and he taught many of the founders at Princeton.
I'm not going to say anything because we hurt Tim's feelings. So I want Tim to, please, seriously,
well,
go ahead, continue.
I'm thinking Mel Gibson, but maybe
freedom!
I'm.
You know, I should watch The Patriot this weekend.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Who? Tell us. And then Fred wants to participate in the
Fred
show.
Knows. Fred no,
he,
knows.
He, go ahead, Fred.
No. I have a different.
Answer that, and then Fred speaks. Go ahead.
It's Reverend John Witherspoon.
Oh, yeah.
Who was brilliant and taught at Princeton and actually educated many of the people that either had something to do with the Declaration or the Constitution. But here's the thing you need to ask the secularists. Okay, name five people who signed the Declaration of Independence. They won't be able to do it, okay? They'll get Franklin, they'll get Jefferson,
right.
And then they're going to draw a blank. And then what you need to say to them is, you don't even know who these people are. How do you know they're all deists?
Right.
Right?
Right.
How do you know that?
You don't even know who they are. That's a tomahawk dunk on them right there.
Right?
That's a tomahawk to the yeah. skull.
Boom.
In fact, you know, Tim Barton, who's on the video that you guys
right,
just mentioned.
Right.
His father, David, I saw David talking about this the other day. He was saying, you know, my son Tim goes to college campuses and he brings a gift card with him. And he says, I will give a gift card to anybody here who can name five people who signed the Declaration of Independence. They all get Jefferson, they all get Franklin, and then they all draw blank. He said, Tim has had that gift card for 9 years.
Wow.
Trying to give it away. And he goes to some of the top schools in the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody can name. It's complete historical revisionist. You read the Declaration of Independence, it's not a deistic document. A deist is somebody who believes God created the universe and left it. The supreme judge of the world is not somebody that leaves the universe.
Right.
Divine providence is God interacting with people. Unalienable rights is God granting rights to people because he cares about what goes on here. It's not deism. It's theism. And by the way, even deism's closer to theism than atheism. So even if they were right about that, that wouldn't mean...
Right.
I mean, it's complete historical revisionism. If there was no Christianity, there would be no America.
Fred, go ahead.
Yeah, Frank, you go to university campuses across this country. Everything you guys have been talking about, it's true. Why is it then that so many young people, and we're seeing this as late as just Tuesday this week, young people are supporting these Democrat socialists who want to basically wreck everything that America is about?
That's for the same reason, Fred, they don't know history. They don't know that socialism has never worked and can't work because it violates human nature. People don't work to line other people's pockets, which is what socialism is essentially trying to get you to do. Self-interest is a good thing. And this is what Adam Smith talked about in 1776, by the way, The Wealth of Nations, that it's not from the benevolence of the butcher, the baker, or the brewer that we get dinner on our table every night. It's from their self-interest that they want to please us so we can interact in a commercial way. So they get what they want and we get what we want and everybody's happy. You don't get that in socialism.
Right.
Socialism is you're going to work for me and not be able to enjoy the fruit of your labor. Sorry, not going to do it. I mean, when was the last time anybody here washed a rental car?
That's a great question.
That you is, don't wash a rental car because it's not yours, okay?
Yeah.
Why is private housing always better than public housing? Because you own it. Mm-hmm. You're going to take more care of it. Self-interest is not a bad thing. It's a good thing because when everybody acts in their own self-interest, they realize in order to get what they want, they have to please other people.
Yeah.
And in order to do that's how commerce happens. People need to please other people with what they make or what service they give.
And communist countries like the Soviet Union discovered that they had all kinds of the workers of the world unite. They had all kinds of workers who would shirk their duties. And the people at the top, they all had their dachas, their villas, their vacation homes. They were living high off the hog. While members of the Soviet workers' paradise had to wait 10 years to buy a car.
Yeah.
Just example after example.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. It's never work. You can live in a commune, if everyone agrees and everybody agrees to work. But they don't last very long. I mean, Acts chapter 5 had nothing to do with government. It had to do with people deciding they were going to live together and pool their resources for a short period of time.
Thank you for saying that. I get so many things where I've been encountered with so many people that talked about how the early Christians were all socialist and we should be too because it's in the Bible. It's in the book of Acts.
It had nothing to do with the government. They were volunteering.
Right.
What a communist.
It's all voluntary.
Voluntary.
I do want to make note of the fact that Chris did thank Frank for what he said, but he didn't thank you, Tim, for what you said.
It's okay. It's a season of forgiveness.
Yeah. It's a season of forgiveness.
You might be fired now. You're fired.
We're going to keep Chris around.
Keep him.
All right, Frank, thanks so much. Have a wonderful July 4th celebration, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hey, don't tell me what to do. You're kind of awesome. Okay, well, this is a free country. I don't want to have a good holiday.
Okay. All right, Frank. Listen, Just enjoy your Kool-Aid today or whatever you're going to do. They're in.
Telling me what to do.
Okay, so there we go. We'll be back in a minute with Sandy Rios from the Washington National Mall.
This year, America celebrates its 250th birthday. 2.5 centuries of courage, innovation, faith, and freedom. But what will the next 250 years hold? The next generation could hold the next Billy Graham, the next Rosa Parks, the next Ronald Reagan, the next child whose life will impact generations. But first, they must be given the chance to live. Every day, Preborn Network clinics help mothers facing unexpected pregnancies discover hope through a free ultrasound. When a mother sees her baby and hears that tiny heartbeat, her baby is twice as likely to be given the gift of life. What story will God write through America's next generation? In honor of America's 250th anniversary, we're asking friends to consider a special gift of $250. Your gift can help provide nearly 9 life-saving ultrasounds. Dial hashtag 250 and say the keyword baby. That's hashtag 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Every gift is tax deductible.
Hello, everyone. Tim Wellman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We are going to Italy in March of 2027. We're also going to Greece in March of 2027. And we're doing those tours back to back if you want to do both of them. In Italy, we'll be going to Venice, we'll ride the gondola and see all the sights there. And we'll go to Pisa and walk on the Leaning Tower of. If you fall off, we're not responsible. Also, we're going to Rome and see the Sistine Chapel and the Colosseum and all the catacombs. We'll see all the sights of Rome. And in Greece, it's the Footsteps of Paul trip. So the places where Paul went in the Bible mentioned in Greece. If you want information on any of these tours, go to tours.afa.net. Tours.afa.net. Tours.afa.net.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Again, reminding you, tomorrow we're going to have a patriotic special about history. You're going to love it, and it's going to be airing from 10 to 11:30, so Central Time, so during the Today's Issues hour. We normally have Trivia Friday, but tomorrow's not trivial.
Right.
Okay? Tomorrow is a day we look back and we celebrate, we commemorate, and we look and we say, what a wonderful thing Almighty God did in birthing the United States of America, which continues on, the experiment continues on today. So so we as believers in Christ continue to pray for our country and work and do all we can to preserve it, to save it, and to hope for our children and our grandchildren and our posterity that America will continue.
Amen.
Yeah. And it's not fundamentally changed like a lot of these secular lefties want to do.
Right.
All right. Well, did you want to say anything?
No, that's fine. It will be from 10:05 to 11:30. It is the audio version of a new video that AFA and American Family Studios has produced.
Yeah.
The title is One Nation Under God. It's going to be hosted by Walker Wildman, and it's going to feature Stephen McDowell, Rick Green, Tim Barton, all well-known to our AFR listeners.
Yeah. All right. So Fred's here, Fred Jackson, even though he hadn't spoke much. We've had 7 words the first half hour of the show. Chris Woodward, who's Chris a little wound up over here ever since I started talking about food and slaw. And So did you want to say anything, Fred, before we go to Sandy?
No, absolutely. I'm anxious. I'm anxious to hear how Sandy is doing.
Okay, well, Sandy and Bruce, rather, they're on the mall in Washington, D.C., and they're experiencing the Great American State Fair.
State Fair.
I guess you could say. Sandy, you there?
I'm here among the throng. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, but we won't keep you long. How hot is it on the mall? Because I know the heat wave's hitting the East Coast.
Actually, don't feel too sorry for me. Yeah. I'm in the South Carolina Pavilion, sitting in a rocking chair, rocking chair by a fan. But it is so hot.
Jim. That's America the way God intended, right there.
So,
in a rocking chair.
It's not 102, I'm thinking.
Like straight up?
It used to be 102.
102?
Oh, yeah. Not beat index. Yes, it's 303 tomorrow. Yeah, it's hot.
Well, listen.
But what they do is, if you see the photos, you know, or shots, and you don't see a lot of people, that's like, everybody's in these pavilions. You know, every state has a pavilion, and media have pavilions, and so they're just not milling about because it's so hot.
So South Carolina had a rocking chair. That's where you went?
Exactly. We did go to the Mississippi one, and that was fun. But it wasn't quite as roomy, and it was noisy.
Yeah.
They had to talk about Elvis Presley, but they talked about how, I think they said Mississippi has more Grammys than any other state, you know, artists with Grammys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, with Grammy Awards.
Yeah, we have a Music Hall of Fame here because of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of, on our... One of the things they say about Mississippi, they claim it's the birthplace of America's music. So there's a lot of history here. So what are you going to do? So are you going to try to hit all the 50 states as far as looking at them today? Or are you just sort of looking around? Are you going to ride that Ferris wheel? What are y'all going to do today?
You know what? I'm not going to ride the Ferris wheel. Okay, here's my history with Ferris wheels. I love them. I love rides. The wilder, the better, except I don't like to go upside down.
Right.
But on Navy Pier in Chicago, they put a big Ferris wheel in a number of years ago, and I was so excited. But it's like got plexiglass around it. It's huge. And when you get in, and it goes very slowly. So if you get in it, you just roast. It's like you're in an oven. So this one has the same thing. And not going there, not going to do that.
Yeah, in the words.
You have a carousel.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I was just going to say, in the words of George H.W. Bush, not going to do it. Not going to do it. So, but you and Bruce, y'all drove from your home in Florida all the way up there to be there to experience this because this is a special time in our country's history, and it's being celebrated on the mall, and you guys wanted to experience that, even through the heat, right?
Yes, and also I was invited to do my podcast here. So I'm gonna do that tomorrow if I can ever find the true social tent. I'm trying to find it.
Now, are you gonna go? Are you? You grew up in Illinois. Are you gonna go to the Illinois tent?
We will.
Okay.
We will. Yeah, we're gonna. I mean, I'm sure we'll visit all of them.
Okay.
Well,
just gotta take it easy because it is very hot.
Right. You don't want to pass out out there, fall in the reflecting pool.
My understanding
get arrested.
In the Illinois, Sandy. My understanding is in the Illinois tent, you can go through a carjacking. Don't they have like
so wrong?
Terrible. You'd be mugged. You'd get a choice.
Yeah,
you'd be mugged
to
have a carjacking.
Our listeners in
St.
Love.
There's more to Illinois than Chicago, the downtown, the south side. You can get carjacked in Rockford. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kidding, folks.
Yeah.
Illinois has
a lot of great people.
Yes, absolutely.
My mom grew up in Illinois.
Yeah, so there you go. So anyway. Well, we encourage folks to check out Sandy's podcast. So are you going to do the podcast about what's going on in D.C. or just what are you going to do the podcast about?
Yes.
Okay.
It'll be about this event and whatever else. I'll probably be collecting guests today.
Okay.
Collecting.
I have a couple of guests already. I'm trying to get Tina Peters because Tina's somewhere around here. I think she might come. If she can make it. And I've got Dan from Preborn. He's going to be here.
Okay.
But otherwise, I think what I do really is just interview people from around the country.
I got you.
I love that.
Amen. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, listen, we will let you go and let you get back to your rock. Well, stay out of the, don't pass out on us there. And we get the news report on Fox News. A lady has passed out on the mall in Washington.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she's the one with red, white, and blue on.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, listen, tell Bruce hello. Thank you for joining us, Sandy. Give us a report from where it's happening, and y'all be safe. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you, Tim. Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Sandy Rios. Sandy's podcast is extremely popular with our listeners. Of course, Sandy was on the radio with us for 10 years in the morning, and she switched over to doing two times a week podcasting. So go to our AFR.net website, You can see, you can click on there to get her podcast. Again, twice a week, Sandy Rios 24/7. So check that out, Sandy Rios 24/7. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, Chris, and Fred. Just real quickly, 102, she said?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's not good.
And she said straight up. I mean, that doesn't include the heat index.
Yeah.
So you've got a report about this is a serious heat wave hitting, what, a third of the country?
Yes. We're looking at record temperatures in many parts of the country going into the July 4th period.
Record for this day.
Yes, in terms of heat plus the heat index. We've been over 100 here when you factor in the heat index for a couple of days. Today's not going to be much better. The unfortunate thing in a couple of parts of the country is we may actually get some rain showers. So it could be that rain might impact fireworks and other plans in various
thanks,
parts.
Thanks, Chris.
Uh-huh. It's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
Back to you.
Thank you for that.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
And what we have to remember, too, a lot of folks in the North, and Ed would attest to this, they don't have air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our air conditioning runs 24 hours a day.
We all make life choices, Fred. Go ahead.
But can you imagine, especially seniors? Which is why they have they have to set up cooling centers.
Yes.
They encourage people to go to malls where they have this.
Right.
I cannot imagine in New York City this morning at 5:30, it was hotter in New York City than it was in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Already.
Wow.
So you got overnight temperatures of 80.
It is dangerous. We're laughing about it, but it is dangerous.
It is.
Especially for, as you're saying, elderly people who don't have access to air conditioning and so forth. Mm-hmm. Just as in the winter, you need to check on those folks.
That was actually a situation here in our area a couple of days ago where two people, what was described in the news as an elderly couple, they were out in their garden. One of them fell. The other was trying to assist, and they both sat out there for so long that
they were in their 80s, weren't they?
Yes. Yeah. One of them passed away, unfortunately, from heat exhaustion, and the other person had some major health issues as
a
result.
They were out in their garden?
They were out in their garden.
This?
Yeah, they were out in the garden. And
big yard. Nobody realized they
were in their 80s. I think the lady tripped maybe and fell, and their husband went to help her, and something happened with him, and nobody was there to help them, and they died.
Oh,
yeah.
It was very tragic. It was in the news.
Yes.
But the heat index, you're right, is going to be, and for you're right, Fred, the folks in, especially in New England, and I'm sure it's very hot in Nova Scotia, too, for what you're used
to. Actually, I don't know where the transition took place you mentioned, because I checked Nova Scotia this morning.
Yeah, it's normal.
Overnight lows of 50s and low 70s during the day.
Yeah, there is a line.
There is a line.
Yeah.
It's a good time of the year to go that far north.
Yeah. But anyway, so 102, that's
a lot of concrete and, so you got the
asphalt.
Asphalt, the reflection of the heat too. And I'm glad at least these tents go someplace to cool off.
I've been to Washington this time of year, and I remember when I was a kid, my parents took us to Washington, D.C., and we were touring Mount Vernon, and it was, burning hot outside, and they did it with no air conditioning back then. Mm-hmm. We're spoiled, for sure.
Well, I've told this joke before, but the older you get, the more you tell jokes.
Over and over.
Over and over, and expect people to pretend like they haven't heard them before.
And us old people don't remember you telling it.
Right. That's right. But this wasn't necessarily a joke, but it was just an interaction. So Allison, my wife, this is a few years ago. She said, so summertime. In summertime, Mississippi, really it's futile to complain about heat.
Right.
Because
you might as well not live here.
Don't live here.
Yeah, right.
Okay? And move somewhere else if you're not going to be able to. If you're going to whine every day.
Yeah.
Okay? So it doesn't matter how hot
I'll
it is.
I'll remind you of that when it turns cold, by the way.
Well, yeah, I will whine about cold weather. So she said, we need to do some yard work this afternoon. I need you to help me. Tell me that in the morning. So I said, okay, well, what are we talking about here? Because it's very hot out there.
Yes.
You know, she said, well, I'm doing pine straw, pick up branches, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay. I said, you know, there's like a heat advisory, right? I mean, I'm talking about we're talking dangerous stuff that doctors would say stay out of.
Yeah.
Heat and stay liquid, stay hydrated. Well, so we're not going to do yard work. You don't want to do that. What are you going to do this afternoon? I said, well, Larry and I were thinking about going golfing. You know.
So. Sounds reasonable. There's a corner of your mind where that sounds reasonable.
Okay, so let's see. When it's life-threatening heat, we still do what we want to do, don't we?
That's right. That's right. It may be life-threatening, but it's not stealing my joy.
Anyway, all right, Chris. Fred, you've been...
been unusually
quiet. Did you want to say anything before Chris goes to some of our other news stories here?
Well, just to say that I've lived here in the United States almost 30 years. And all the things that are said about the United States, I'm talking the attributes, the opportunities here. I remember we used to visit the States when I was a kid. We'd go down to New England for vacation, that sort of thing. It always impressed me how busy it was. The economic impact of the United States. By the way, back, I suppose 60, 70 years ago, we had a lot of relatives. We talked about the Cajuns yesterday, Acadians visiting. I had a bunch of relatives that moved down in my grandfather's era down to the United States, and they never came back. I've got all kinds of relatives from whence you come from.
Oh, all right. Down in New England.
Down in New England, yes.
Down south.
Yeah. South of the border.
They came down. They settled in New York and New Jersey and parts of Massachusetts. I remember visiting one relative one time. His name was Walter Jackson. Yeah. He married an Italian lady.
Ah, smart man.
They had about 9 kids.
Yeah.
Living there. And I tell you what, my dad fell in love with the United States. He never moved.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. I ended up marrying a Southerner.
That's right.
And ending up here.
Mississippi
girl.
Y'all both did.
Yeah.
And that's how you ended up here.
Yeah, that's right.
Coming
right
down here. So, hey, listen, I am so thankful for the United States. I regret the tension that's going on right now between the United States and Canada. But I'm hoping for a change. I'm hoping what's going on in Alberta right now will lead to a change here in the rest of Canada.
Yeah.
Alberta is thinking about leaving Canada.
Yeah. Mm.
They're actually going to be
a serious thing?
There's a test vote.
Okay.
On that.
To secede from Canada because Canada's gone lefty socialist in many ways?
You've got to understand, Alberta is the Texas of Canada.
Okay.
All right.
It's the red state.
It's the red state, very much so. Rich in petroleum, et cetera, et cetera. And they're kind of fed up with carrying the rest of Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so there's that spirit that I see, so that's amplified here.
Right.
It's alive and well in Alberta.
Gotcha.
And I'm anxious to
see. When is that test vote? That's going to be interesting.
There is a test vote. It's either this fall or early next year.
Okay.
I have a name for Alberta if it leaves and becomes a state.
A state, you mean, or its own country?
Let's say it goes its own way and then eventually becomes part of the U.S. We can call it Further North Dakota.
Further North Dakota. I like
that.
By the way, is it legal in Canada's form of government for a province to secede?
Legal. I'm not sure if nobody's tried it.
Yeah, okay.
So, but if
Quebec has threatened it.
Quebec has threatened it before, but they were paid off, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, they got a lot of concessions from Prime Minister Trudeau at the time.
That's the older Trudeau. Pierre.
Okay. So that's what this is about. I mean, there are some people in Alberta say, okay, what happens to my Canada pension and all that sort of thing. Problem with Alberta is it's landlocked.
Right.
It doesn't have a coast.
Right.
So you would still have to go, if you're going east-west, through the rest
of Canada. Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are all kinds of things, but I think they may get some concessions out of it. Regardless of what happens.
Is that Edmonton? Is that what we're talking about?
Edmonton is the capital.
Okay. Of Alberta.
Yes. Calgary is kind of the petroleum head.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, Fred, and we thank you for listening to Today's Issues and to American Family Radio. Go ahead, Chris.
One of the great things about this program and other shows on American Family Radio is we don't just tell you what people say. We play sound bites.
We do.
And yesterday on his Fox News program, Will Cain had the co-chair of the Democratic Socialists of America on his program to share his side and why he believes what he believes. Here is Ashiq Sadiq's answer to questions like, are you in favor of open borders? Clip 4.
You believe in the concept of borders, nation states having a border?
We believe that right now what we have is open borders for capitalists, for CEOs. We have a people who've run major companies that have hollowed out cities all over the country, taking jobs out of communities, outsourcing jobs, pushing trade deals that are bad for workers. So we would not have open borders tomorrow, but we want a world in which all working people are taken care of. Every basic necessity, so that we don't need a militarized border. ICE was only created in 2003.
Okay, I think I hear you clearly. And this is the goal of my conversation with you. I want to understand. So ultimately, yes, I do hear a nation without borders. I don't think I'm mischaracterizing what you said. What about property transfers? We've heard that both from Mamdani. We've heard that from Claire Valdez in New York. And I'll just pair that with seizing the means of production. So forcible removal of private property rights and a transfer.
I think what we want to do is have democratic decisions about how resources are distributed in our country. So the healthcare industry is the best example of
that. If a majority votes to take something away from an individual, then that would be a democratic transfer of property?
I think we would look at something like how taxes work today. Right now, Elon Musk has just become the world's first trillionaire in America's own history. In the 1950s, when Dwight D. Eisenhower was president, there was a top marginal tax rate of 90%. So anybody making over, let's say, $1 million, 90% of that would go back to fund public services for everyone.
Who is what? That?
That was the co-chair of Democratic Socialists of America.
You know, I'm glad Will Cain did that. What you just heard, folks, was an interview on Fox News yesterday by Will Cain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was former actor and television news host now. Freddie was interviewing, who was this fella?
Ashiq Sadiq.
He's the
head of the
co-chair of the Democratic Socialists of America.
Okay, so but the point of the interview was to hear it from his mouth.
Yeah.
Yes.
What these Democrat Socialists believe and want.
Yes.
Fred, he was still the guy, although he had the microphone to do it, he still tried to finesse his words when talking about a border, and he didn't reject Will Cain's description of his beliefs that he doesn't believe in nation-state borders.
Yeah,
is that what you got?
When Will Cain said, "I want to interpret what you're saying correctly,"
right.
you're for open borders.
Right.
The guy did not dispute that.
He did not dispute that.
He did not dispute that. On the transfer of property, you have to look at what Mamdani has talked about already.
Yeah, what is that? Go ahead. This is a good lesson for us because I think people need to understand that these socialists, these Democrat socialists, they're serious.
Oh, very.
They're serious about seizing private property in the name of equity for everybody, right?
That's right. Okay. Mamdani has talked about this. We're gonna take over housing,
right.
apartment buildings. Right. The city is going to own it,
right?
And that way, and the coach is saying, okay, that'll make it affordable rent for people.
Yeah, I want to know what they do this in the name of what, so it appeals to a lot of people. What do they do it in the name of?
Well, you're hearing affordability a whole lot.
Okay.
This is their definition of affordability. We're going to make housing affordable.
Okay.
We're going to take that guy's house.
Right.
Or that guy's apartment building that he owns. We're just going to go take it.
Okay.
One other thing. We're going to set rent control prices.
Yes.
Which in essence is taking it, but it's not a physical taking of the building. Go ahead.
Well, I want people to understand. We're running out of time here, but... This clip went on for a while because he was asked how he would do this. Okay, so the thing that's so deceptive about this is that this Ashiq Sadiq, these Democratic Socialists of America, they weren't talking about the government just seizing it. He later went on to say, we're going to take it through taxation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He went on to say that Elon Musk is the world's first trillionaire.
We just heard that.
Yeah, okay, yeah. But did he say the 90%?
Yeah, he did.
Oh,
yeah,
he did, okay.
Yeah.
I was looking up his name, I missed that.
No, yes. Go ahead.
So that's what's so deceptive. He said we used to take 90% of income from rich people.
Right.
And it makes it sound like it's going to do it through the democratic process, so nobody's going to get just taken like by communists.
Right.
And people need to be aware. This property they're going to seize, they're not going to just send in the stormtroopers. They're going to tax you so that you can't keep it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then the government takes it.
Now, and this guy said $1 million, did he not?
Well, he was talking about the policies from back in the Eisenhower era.
Yeah, if you were a millionaire, you reached
90%.
90% taxation.
That was to help
90%
cover World War
taking
II.
90% of anybody's income, I don't care if they're Elon Musk or not, is
it's theft.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Well, what's going to happen is you kill the economy.
Yes.
Because who's going to work hard if somebody's going to take, if the government's going to take 90% of what you earn?
And these people like him, they become the lords.
Yes.
Right. They become the leaders.
Right. They dictate to everybody.
Yes.
Well, this is a, well, these people, their numbers are growing, folks.
Yeah. We didn't defeat an empire for this nonsense.
Right. All right, we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.